I know what that means, but I don't remember.
Scrooge.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Jake and Mark.
I'm so culturally deprived, it's unbelievable.
What did you do?
Well,
straight through your English lit classes?
Yeah, culturally deprived. It's just a different culture.
Culturally, I know a lot about Tolstoy.
I know a lot about fish oil and ice.
Different names for snow.
Lye and potatoes.
He does have a culture.
It's not. I have a culture, but it's not cultural. And culturally deprived and morally depraved.
I thought that was Harry.
No, that's me. All right. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes. I am tired of talking about the name.
What did I miss last week?
The name of Jesus.
You'll never catch it.
What does it mean to be in the name of God? What does it mean to be the name of Christ? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Well, again, to start the predicate, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men, so they can blame Satan for it. No. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it, to be humbled in it, to be emptied in it. He hath made everything beautiful in this time. Also, he has set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. This is why, and you've got to hear this, this is why the scriptures say, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that wait on him. The minute you have an image or an idea of the way anything should be, or anyone should respond, or how anyone should act, or how you should, anything, if you have an idea, that is an idol. If you have the smallest idol, it's tantamount, and you kept every point in the law, it would be meaningless. If you have the smallest idea of the way something should be, the way something should look, the way something should act, or someone should act, then the whole thing. Can you see that? If you think that blind should be that way, and God damn it, they're just the way things should be. Just the right way to do things. There's just a right way for people to act. The moment that that comes to your mind, then you've resurrected all of the evil one. You better quickly get back on the mercy seat. Because you cannot, again, to put it in the context of what we've been talking about the secret stuff that we talked about when Buckner wasn't here. You cannot be in his name and your name. And you're in your name if you gain information, ideas, opinions about by reference to any part of your past. Then you're in your name, not his name. If you reference to any ideas about the future, then you're in your name, not his name. I pray that you understand that. Because you've got 10,000 ideas, 10 million ideas. Things should be, and what should be done, and what is good, and what is not good, and what is civil, and what is uncivil. What's the proper behavior for this, and what's the proper response to that? That's what you've been taught your whole life, and it's all crap compared to the mystery of God. Anybody have anything come up?
Yeah, the moment self is engaged, the game's over. Because self cannot in any dimension proceed.
Did you give Mr. Bojo? Did you give John the Satan's half second?
Can I ask why that came up right then? Why'd you wait so long?
It would take too much. I don't have the discernment that would be required to answer that question. Verse 12, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And what is it? Again, once you define what good is, then you can justify anything with that. But from God's standpoint, good is spirit, soul is flesh. Good is eternity, bad is time. Again, the only reason time exists, the only reason that the end hasn't come, is because of our rebellion. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Now this is, and it's just, again, once you apply a definition to the word good, then you've lost. Jesus said, don't even call him good. That's pretty heavy. So that's your defining defining thing. If there's anything you're going to call good, Jesus said, don't even call him good. We may spend some time in this next verse, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it or added to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. There is absolutely nothing. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. And God does that so that men should fear him. Well, just think. Can you maybe see why I've said every idea and opinion and invention since the day of the cross was an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ? Every question you have, every sincere desire to learn is trying to add something. Oh, but I'm just sincere. I'm so sincere. Do I have to remind you what sincerity is? Okay, by rights, by God, by what God did, Adam and Eve would have lived forever. Again, what I teach is that they had an awareness, their only awareness was of external and God. They had no self-awareness. And the moment the fall came, God had to give you the illusion of control. And that's what's called conscious self-consciousness. But that God didn't want that innocence of he wanted antagonism. He wanted holiness. And holiness is tested innocence. And that's what the whole of time and space is about, is antagonism to come against, so see if anything can take you off the mercy seat, if anything can get your attention, if you think anything should change, if you think any moment you're in should be different than it is. Because the minute you do, then you've returned to the judgment seat of God. Well, that doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't. Anytime you hear words that are the fruit of the cross, it will always be the antithesis of what you think is smart. That's why he's made foolishness the wisdom of men. That men should fear before him. Heaven and earth were created only so that fear could be manifest. But we think of fear as cowering, just like we think repentance is regret. It's just stupid language. Fear of him I can't even put words to it, but of respect and awe that of his sacrifice, of him, that you should have been chosen to tabernacle the Son of his love. And that anything that you can conceive of, or anything that you, any little idea that you have, is it nothing. Any little opinion you have is zero. Any little opinion I have is a zero. Meaningless. Any thought I have is meaningless. Gary, you're doing it again. There's smoke coming out of your ears.
Well, I'm afraid my phone's going to ring. I don't know what that is. My fear was found.
Can you see why the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom? Otherwise, you're just going to walk around, you know, walking in the twilight and bumping into things. And that's why if the blind shall lead the blind, they both shall fall into the pit. That's not talking about, that's talking about the pit of this sliding slope that's of self-seeking that you will find. And if anyone teaches you self-seeking in the name of God, they should be castrated. That would be better than what will happen. Because to teach self-seeking in the name of God is to offend. It's to ensnare in that trap of self-seeking. And yet, oh, that's what you want. Everybody wants. How do I do this? How do I fix this? Psychobabble till hell freezes over. What do I do about that? You believe. You rest.
That's interesting, because believe and rest, one implies action, the other implies passivity, and yet they're both the same. Because you believe in.
Again, remember? To believe, this is you. To believe is, you have no possibility of attempting to save yourself. But we may believe into a, you know, it's the same way I believe the light's on. I believe Wade has a funny haircut.
I choose to believe the light is off.
Well, that's good for you. But again, believe is massive. Belief, faith, all those words are the same. It means 100% reliance on the Father. No leaning on your own arm of understanding or in your own emotional response. Your own life is a point of reference. The future is a point of looking for. Let's go to Deuteronomy 12. I want to show you something.
I'm sorry, Deuteronomy
12. Verse 11. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offering, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and you and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite, even the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy offerings, or it says burnt offering, but it just means any offering, in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes, there shalt thou offer thy burnt offerings, and there shalt thou do all that I command thee. The only place that you can make any kind of an offering isn't to the place that you choose. And what does it mean to make an offering anyway? The only offering that's acceptable to the Father is the one offering by which you have been perfected. So there's no other offering, and there's no place that you can decide to do it. You can't decide to give your offering over there, over here, over there. The only place that the offering is acceptable is the place that the Lord has chosen to place his name there. That place is the New Jerusalem. There is no other. Can you feel that? And if you don't know that the New Jerusalem is wherever your foot touches, then you're going to run around and think different places are special. And you're going to have, and there's something special about this activity, and something special about, and you'll rank everything, and you'll just walk in darkness. It's either all dark or all light. It's either all perfection or no perfection. It's either all peace or no peace. It's either all acceptance or no acceptance. It's either all belief or no belief. And that all means all, 24 hours a day, never ending, never returning to self for anything. Because that's the only place, that place of abandonment is the only place that God has chosen. So you can't go decide. Well, it's like we talked about. You go to the church of your choice and expect to be moved by God. It's a contradiction in terms. You can't do it. You can be moved by the power of the soul and call it spirit, but you're a fool because it doesn't last and it needs more to get you back up excited. I'm going to go build a prayer closet in my house, and so there I'll go pray. Well, that's not what he said. He said, when you pray, go to the innermost room. The innermost room is the Holy of Holies, under the wings of the cherubim, on the mercy seat. That's your place of refuge. That's where you go. You don't go to some place or some building or some... That's why you can't, if you choose to come here, then you probably will leave. I certainly never chose to come here. I avoided it at all costs. Is this making any sense to you? You know, as we've seen, people come here for a thousand reasons. They stay for only one. And that one certainly isn't me or anything I have to say. I'm going to last verse of this Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 12. verse 29, not the last verse, sorry. When the Lord God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land. Now, what are these nations? Remember, there were seven nations that were on the promised land, that they were the usurpers of the land. Well, if you want to believe that that little hunk of geography over in the Middle East is the Holy Land, I mean, you can believe all you want to, but that has absolutely nothing. That's the parable, the pattern for what God showed Moses. And what he showed Moses was, there's the seven mountains of your mind, the seven high places, that they are the usurpers of the land. They are they're there illegally. And you don't have to, he's going to take them away from before you if you just have any integrity. You just have to open up your heart and be honest and don't keep drinking sour milk. And slowly but surely, those nations that are the nations that have controlled your life, those board of elders, and with the whore of Babylon sitting on those seven mountains, arrayed in purple, and the name of blasphemy in every one of those heads and every one of those crowns. Because blasphemy, remember, is a technical word. It means to deny the foundation. And our only foundation is Him. So instead, we like to, well, let's go run up to the mountains. Let's go run up to these little places of refuge, of worship that we all have in our minds. I think it's time we read the Buckner chapter once more time right now. Isaiah 57. We got time.
Welcome home, Gary.
Welcome home.
Welcome back.
The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. That's what it means. You kill the Son again, the only righteous, with every one of your thoughts and every one of your ideas and every one of your plans and every one of your ambitions and every one of your, this is the way it should be. The righteous one perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And the merciful man is taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each walking in his uprightness. But as for you, draw here near, you sons of the sorcerer, the seed or sperm of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? And against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression and sperm of a lie? Inflaming yourself with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks, among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering and hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort on these? Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. And that's what you do. That's what your mind does. Behind the doors also in the post thou hast set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another other than me. Thou art gone up, thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them, and thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it, because your thoughts are so sweet. And thou wentest to the king with ointment, that thou did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. Now you send your messengers far off, because that's what you do with, you create the universe, then you send your messengers there. That's what your mind does. Do you understand this? Or you think I'm crazy? Well, you can understand it and think I'm crazy. You are wearied in the greatness of your way. Yet you sayeth not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, therefore you were not grieved. that touch you? Can you see how many times this has been repeated and repeated and repeated in your own life, your own thoughts, and the agreement with hell that you've made is you're trying to get to the promise without dying because you've ignored the curse. So you're in an agreement with hell. You're trying to make yourself acceptable constantly to the one who has the right of first redemption, the nearer kinsman, which is the God of this world. And so you have the same value systems as the world. And whatsoever is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. Test your thoughts against that one. Test your ideas against that one. You bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How do you do it? There is no thought, there is no emotion that can stand against your, by one offering you've been perfected forever and it's finished. Your mind cannot, the only thing your mind can do with that is to see that it's defeated. This isn't popular. I'm surprised even one of you are listening to me. That's a good place to stop. Remember, the predicate for this was, whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth this, that men should fear before him. Everything else is just crap. Anybody have any response? Everybody agrees?
That Ecclesiastes 3, where it says God has set the world in their heart, it's like that's...
That's right. It's ha'olam. It's God has set eternity. God has set the world. God has set the name. All of it is the name, the world, the eternity. It's the same ha'olam, the vanishing point. So you can never inspect it. You can never look at it. You can never negotiate with it. You can't do anything with it. That's what it means when it says that Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. It doesn't justify some harebrained heresy that you've had.
Yeah, and the audacity for us to think that in our minuscule microscopic cells can add to his...
You got it right, the manipulative.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So there's no fear of God. Talk about fear of God, but I have no idea what that means. The fear of God is that, my God in heaven, how could you have had any dealings with me, the chief of sinners, the irredeemable, unredeemable, the one who deserves death even at this instant?
Something about you mentioned that Adam walked in awareness only of God and others. Something about that, and that, and the naming before the fall, and the first time he used the word I, when he named himself I. And there's something greatly to be desired in that state of walking where I is gone.
Amen. Ms. Josanna? Rosanna? Dana?
No, I was just thinking about the difference between being in self and striving. And, you know, it's constant. It's work. Thinking about work.
To him that, right, to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. the minute you have an agenda, then there's no more grace but debt.
I'm trying to resist this, but I have. I never thought I would quote Robert Fox. But I've been thinking about this for 20 minutes. He has this saying that if you don't know where you're going, you can't get lost.
That's good.
And you know what? He's right. If you don't have a schedule, you can't be late. And if you don't have an image, it can't be wrong.
We had this killer meeting for the other day with the Faith Mobile people. I did everything that I could to try to talk them out of having anything to do with us. I told them, you know, we're going to make unbearable fun of you and all the other people you deal with. Oh, yeah, we know. You know that if I see that there's the slightest bit of pressure on Harry or on Kevin, that I'm going to tell them to skip an issue. Yeah, I know. You know that I don't think this meeting is any more important than me taking a leak. Yeah, I know.
Where were you meeting with?
I'll tell you about it in a minute. It's the same way. I try to talk you out of coming here, and I try to talk them out of getting in any kind of relationship with us. So we'll see what happens. All right, take a big guy.
Wait,
we have a newbie, a probie, to put it.